Jim Byers, of course, down in OKC to talk about the Barons, joins us now. Jim, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Good. Is it just a coincidence that they give up five goals without Brandon Davidson, or how much did they miss his just steady play on the blue line?
Well, he has been very steady, and he has been very good this year. Obviously, missing camp in the early portion of the year, it had to be difficult when he did join the team about 5 weeks ago. But I think it's more coincidence last night. The Texas Stars, who were the opponent, played very well at home, and I think they've been struggling lately, and they were sort of sitting on a good performance. And I think just law of averages indicated that after eight straight wins and five straight road wins, that the Barons might be due for a bit of an off night. And certainly the defensive pairs were juggled without Davidson there, and he and Brad Hunt are a really nice sort of offensive and defensive duo. But I think there was more to it than just Davidson not being in the lineup, but he certainly has been effective this season.
Looking at the Barons, I guess let's talk first of all about the signing they made today, because U of A Bears fans will know this guy. They signed Ben Linmolder, who, of course, won the Randy Gregg Award last year for excellence in hockey academics and community involvement. He was signed to an American League deal by the Barons, but he's going to start right away in the ECHL. Is that correct?
Yes, he was signed, and then the Barons then, since he was signed to an AHL deal, have the option to loan him to the ECHL. So he's going to head to Bakersfield, and to be honest, I'm not sure if that's more for, you know, conditioning to get him kind of back up into the swing of things, because I don't show him ever having played this season, you know, in a recognized pro league. So it could be something like that. The Barons are short on D right now, not short, but right at the numbers of six defensemen and 12 forwards, and that apparently is what they're going to go into tomorrow's game. So definitely there could be an extra defenseman, you know, in the offing just to give them seven. But for the time being, they're staying the course, and the team has been playing well, so no particular reason to panic on that account. But I would assume that they want Ben to get a little, you know, get a few games under him before they consider him bringing him up.
Well, the Barons have really been streaking. They're 8-1-0-1 in their last 10, and they actually were 9-0-1 until that loss the other night. They're 14-5-2-2 on the season. After a little bit of a slow start, Jim, what's been the biggest difference for the sudden surge?
Well, early in the year, they were scoring a lot of goals. They did start 0-2-1, and after that, the big surge began, and it started with offense, and they were just outscoring teams. I mean, it kind of looked like kind of looked like mid-80s NHL hockey. You know, they'd win games 5-4 and 6-5, and that obviously wasn't real sustainable, and it didn't last. The main thing lately has been the goaltending has been very good. Both Bachman and Brossoit have been very good of late, and the defense has started to, I think, mature a little bit. You know, they've gotten good contributions from the rookies and Osterley and Simpson, and, of course, Davidson and Hunt, who weren't with the club early in the year, came, and that's a really good pairing right there. And neither of them were around in October when the team was allowing a lot of goals. And they cut down the goals against. They started to win close games. I think they managed to puck a little better in their own end. And certainly having the contributions of Oscar Klefbom earlier in the year were strong. And now Martin Marincin, you know, at this level, those two guys are kind of similar just in terms of their stature, you know, and within the lineup, and not so much in the style of play as just their contributions as, you know, really NHL-style defensemen. And so I think just a little bit better play in their own end. And, you know, you mix in, it's a nice mix of forwards, too. They've had a knack for winning overtime. They lead the league with six overtime wins. And so that hasn't hurt either. They have some moxie about them where they've been able to win some close games.
Jim Byers joins us from OKC. Jim, I wanted to ask you about the play of Anton Lander. Oilers fans are curious why he hasn't been recalled. They clearly are in need of a center ice position. I look at his stat line, and you know what? He's got 19 points in 22 games. How has he played overall?
I think he's played very well. I mean, we've seen this before from him. He's very proven at this level. You know, I think he's one of those prototypical guys that at this level he can do just about anything. You know, he's a hard worker. He's every night he's one of the hardest working forwards. He's good and solid on draws at this level. And he can score at this level as well. He has enough skill to play a more skilled role at this level. I don't know if that'll play necessarily at the next level. I mean, I think that was the hope initially, I would imagine, when they first brought him into the organization, was that skill-wise he'd be able to play something other than a bottom six role in the NHL. I don't know if that'll develop, but he's just a very complete player, and I'm kind of baffled as well as to why he hasn't gotten a chance up there, and if it's just a matter of they've taken some good looks at him in the past and decided to look at other guys or what. That's not my area of expertise, but he's done everything really, both statistically and non-statistically, that I think you could ask for at this level.
A few other players interested about their development. You mentioned the guys on the back end, Osterley and Simpson. How have they looked? Have they had, Simpson, I know they were playing a lot early. Have they dipped at all in their play, or have they maintained a pretty level of consistency?
I think they've been pretty consistent. I think if there's been dips, it's been Dylan Simpson a little bit more than Jordan Osterley. You know, Osterley is a guy that I think as time goes by, he might become a little bit more of a physical presence. He's a bit, I think, on the undersized side right now, if that makes sense, but very creative and moves the puck very well and chooses well when to get into the rush. And Osterley has had some good goal-scoring opportunities. He scored an overtime goal and contributed on offense, on the offensive side of things. And, probably just needs to get a little bit more comfortable with the physical elements of playing in his own zone. And Simpson's play, it's not nearly as flashy. He did have a little bit of a dip there a few weeks ago. He was sat for a couple of games, plus he was battling a little leg injury. But they were paired together early in the year. They haven't been paired together much the last month or so. But they've been working pretty well together, and I just think they need time. Everybody knows it seems like defensemen need a little extra time to develop, and I think they're guys that are good to have on a club, and I think they'll be coming along just fine. They're an interesting contrast because Osterley is a terrific skater, just visually just a wonderful skater to watch, great offensively, and Simpson's kind of the opposite. So they've got a little Hunt Davidson thing going there where one kind of takes care of more of the offensive side and the other more of the defensive side.
Jim Byers joins us. Jim, Iiro Pakarinen was off to a red-hot start scoring goals. It seems to have slowed down a little bit. How's his play since coming back from Edmonton?
It's been good. Like you say, though, it's just offensively things have not really been going the way for him like they were earlier in the year. He's still third on the team with 8 goals. He's still very visible out there, very present. He still gets a lot of power play time, still has that really really NHL looking size and style. I just think for Pakarinen, I just think it's kind of he hasn't been able to bury some chances of late, and I mean he's looked okay since he's come back. He was a little bit hot, he had a little hotter hand earlier in the year, but I think he'll be fine. I mean, he looks to me all over like an NHL player and a guy that's going to be able to not just shuttle back and forth, but play up there regularly. I really like his combination of size and skill and just his overall aggressiveness and style of play. So I'm not too worried about him, but the production has been a little bit of a head-scratcher of late. I mean, he's still getting top-line ice time and all of that. It's just I think it's just been more the breaks lately. It's been a little sample size where he hasn't been able to produce much, but they've got – games coming up here at home this weekend, tomorrow, and the next day against Grand Rapids. And I think with him, he's a bit, it seems like he's a little streaky. So if he can get a goal over this weekend, I think things could turn around for him. It just seems like he's that type of player.
Jim Byers joins us. Jim, Bachman's played 12 games. Lauren Brossoit has played 9 in between the pipes. Brossoit has a .916 save percentage, Bachman .912, so pretty similar. Brossoit, his numbers for the first few games weren't very good at all. It clearly seems like he's gotten more comfortable. What's the difference you've seen in his game as this season goes along?
Early in the season, Bachman went up right off the bat there after playing just the season opener. He went up to Edmonton, and Brossoit was kind of the guy. And, I think he's a goaltender that has a lot of promise and has been playing really well. But earlier in the season, he was sort of thrown to that starter's role. And for whatever reason, he just didn't get off to the greatest start. It wasn't like he was horrendous by any means. It just he has started, though, to dominate games and win games just in the last month as the team's fortunes have risen. And, they won 8 in a row, and he won 4 of those, and Bachman won the other 4, and they were kind of feeding off each other. And I just think, he got injured, too. His back seized up on him about the third week in October, and he missed a week or so. And that's when Franz Tuohima came in and played really well in Brossoit's stead. But I think with Brossoit, it was just a matter of time, just feeling a little more comfortable. You know, he never really got, you know, week after week of experience at this level last season. He was up and back a little bit and got some games, but sort of a sink or swim situation. And once he got comfortable, then he started to play his angles a little better and just sort of, I think, be a little more, I don't know, a little more steady in net. And but now he's playing with tremendous confidence. And last night, Bachman got pulled. I didn't think it was a that poor of an effort. If you look at the goals and the shots, it looks like it was terrible. But really, there were some coverage issues and some giveaways that, that wound up in the back of the Barons' net for Bachman. But Brossoit came in and played very well. So that score really could have been lopsided without that.
One final one for you, Jim. You've seen a lot of the teams now. You're past the quarter pole, almost to the one-third of the season. The Old Barons in a very good position. Are they a team that's, you know, as good as their record states? As long as they don't get, I guess, raided by the Edmonton Orders, should this be a season where the Old Barons might finish near the top of the standings?
I think so. You know, we haven't seen Rockford yet, the Blackhawks affiliate, and they jetted off to an unbelievable start, and they've still won six of their last 10, and the Utica Club, which is the Vancouver affiliate, the Barons have seen them, and they are quite good. And, you know, we haven't seen a lot of teams. The Barons have overwhelmingly played within their division and overwhelmingly played the San Antonio and Texas clubs to this point. 13 of their 23 games have been against those two teams. So it's been a lopsided schedule. It'll level itself out as we go. But, yeah, I think this team has a definite chance to win the West Division, be one of the top three seeds in the conference. And the way things go at this level, it always seems like things equalize. You know, there are teams like the Norfolk Admirals from a few years ago, from the 11-12 season, that won their last 28 games and won the league title. But those are exceptions. Most of the time with player call-ups and transactions, everybody tends to level off to some degree. But I think the Barons are an upper division Western Conference club at the least, and a club that has a good chance to win the West Division. And I think it's one of the better clubs from a chemistry standpoint that we've had in the 5 years here and from a completeness standpoint. It's a young D still, but they work hard. I don't think there's any glaring deficiencies here. So, you know, barring unforeseen moves or trades, I think this team definitely has a chance to make a fifth straight to playoff run.
Well, you mentioned they played San Antonio and Texas 13 of their 23 games. Well, those two teams are 14-7-2 and 9-7. So, you know what? They're still 14-5-2-2, even though they played maybe the two best teams in their division the majority of the game. So that bodes well for them. Jim, I really appreciate the rundown. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime. Thanks.